Do you like movies, comic books, science fiction, and more? Then you've come to the right place. This is the Rebel Radio Podcast. You can find us at therebelradiopodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and join our Patreon for just $2 a month where you get exclusive episodes. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show. Welcome to a new episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long, the Desperado.
Yes. Yeah.
I wonder, like, one day we should do, like, the opening backwards. We should be like, this is Mark, this is Matt, this is Long, this is the Rebel Radio Podcast. Because it's like, when people be like, wait, they did it backwards. I don't know. That just came to me all of a sudden, thinking that we always do it kind of in the same order. Mm-hmm.
But I'm back.
He's back.
You're back. That's right. You weren't on. What movie do? Oh, Clash of the Titans. That's right.
Clash of the Titans. Yeah.
I forgot.
I wasn't planning to be on tonight's episode, but I don't know. I just needed to vent personally.
You ain't doing jack shit. That's why. <You're> like, I'm just hanging. Guys,
oh, and speaking of which, no, I know you were suspicious about my phone call.
Hey.
But as I texted following listening to that episode, it was because the person I was talking to lived on the West Coast. Used to be my coworker, and they were 2 hours behind. So 9:30 this time was 7:30 that time. So I am so sorry that someone else lived in a different time zone.
I mean, you know, whatever cover story you want to give us, we'll take.
Whatever. I don't have to defend myself.
Well, yeah, but you know, when you text us that you're taking a phone call and it's all cryptic, like, you only expected us to bust your balls on that one. I mean, you expected anything less?
You know how much of a private person I am.
I know. Yeah. But you got to expect a little ball pushing from us guys.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's okay. That's all right. You light the fire, you better be ready for what comes back. That's all I have to say.
Boxing gloves
another
on.
Another cryptic message.
Boxing gloves on. Let's roll, dog.
Yeah.
So, with that note, Long, since you weren't on last week, how have you been?
Peachy.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing much you can do during this COVID BS we're all experiencing, you know?
Yeah. But that is true.
Yeah. You do what you got to do to stay mentally healthy, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I ventured out to go buy my store today, and I went in the dollar store. Whoop-dee.
You know, your what?
I went in the dollar store today. That was my big adventure. You know, I just needed a couple things in there that
I thought you said you were looking to buy a sword today. A sword?
No. And I fixed to get medieval up in here.
Yeah, I know. But I know COVID sucks, but come on, man.
Well, that I already own a couple of swords, so you know. But
it looks like the Astros are leading 4-1.
Yeah, they were winning earlier. I guess I'm peachy too. As of today, I'm on vacation for 10 days, so I guess that's good.
That's nice.
I mostly stay at home vacation. And might go to Galveston Sunday or Monday. Don't know yet. But mostly stay home. Mm-hmm. And go through things in the house. More junk I need to go through. I have clothes to give you too, Matt, by the way, for the kiddos. So.
Oh, cool, man. Yeah, man, we'll always take that. Cool thing about having boys and friends with boys is...
You got half a fucking baseball team, almost a whole basketball team.
So, yeah, for real.
You know, so you can use them. But, how you been, Matt? Good?
Oh, yeah, just, you know, I've been getting my mechanic skills tested. It seems like every single week the past month. I had to do steering rack bushings a few weeks ago. This past weekend, I had to do struts, and I got some shocks to put in the back of of my SUV. But then I started hearing a squealing sound, so I'm having the mother-in-law's or my my in-laws, one of my in-laws come over, my father-in-law, he's going to kind of use his experience here and try and figure out where, what I need to replace. So I'm just hoping it's not a water pump, because that's just very, that just, you know, messes up. Yeah, it's very, very tedious. You have to basically reline up your overhead cams and put in a time, you know, put in a timing chain or timing belt. When you do it, it's not fun. It says, you know, lame as it sounds to put in that. Not sure.
I mean, I was going to say you're going to put everybody to sleep here with your lameness, but
not. Yeah. I mean, it's cool when you're putting in an exhaust or,
Jerry knocked you know, out. He's over there fucking snoring.
Fuel intake or, you know, fuel filter or, you know, something that's going to make the vehicle fast, but you know, it's boring whenever you're just trying to get it up and running again. It's always boring.
Yeah. And it keeps going and going and going about it.
Yeah. Yeah. So on to more interesting things.
Let's get the show rolling with Download This, where we tell you what we've watched, streamed, checked out this week. My voice is a little raspy. It's probably, honestly, it's from wearing these fucking masks, and I'm not, that's not a complaint, because I'll do whatever I have to do to protect people, but it just causes my throat to, like, I don't know if I'm breathing in the fibers from the mask or whatever, but it's like every week, man, just shoots my voice. But anyway, so Download This, man. Whoever wants to go first, what'd y'all watch or stream or play this week?
I saw a ton of things. For some reason, earlier this week, I was in the mood to watch a bunch of Al Pacino movies.
Nice.
One of them
have,
one of them I've seen before, Dick Tracy, and then the second one was I've never seen before, was Frankie and Johnny, and it was a movie with him and Michelle Pfeiffer, and he plays a former ex-con named Frankie, maybe. Anyways, and
Dick Tracy?
So
Pacino,
yeah, Dick Tracy.
Oh, really? I didn't know.
And then I
seen that like one time, so I didn't know.
Yeah, I forgot. Man, it looks great in HD. It's so colorful in HD. Yeah. But anyways, Frankie and Johnny I've never seen before, but it was just a little drama piece between Michelle Pfeiffer and Al Pacino. Pacino plays a ex-con who's trying to get his life back together, and he meets his coworker who's a waitress, and they basically, you know, it's just a regular old drama. Then I saw an old 1947 movie called Black Narcissus, and it's a really cool, interesting, it's like one of the earliest, not one of the earliest, but yeah, definitely one of the earlier or earlier type of movies that used Technicolor. And if back in the day, it's a big deal because cameras that shot in color were like huge, right? Because they had to have three different film strips that were, one is yellow, one is red, and one is blue, shooting footage at the same time, you know? So it was a big, cumbersome camera to shoot with. But Black Narcissus is basically about a group of nuns who are trying to convert this former pleasure palace into a convent for the local Himalayan tribes. And they become a little stir crazy living up in the beautiful scenery of the Himalayas. And but yeah, it's the type of movie I usually don't watch, but sometimes that little film, that film buff in me, you know, takes control of my viewing tastes, and it's like, yeah, that's a pretty good movie, you know. And then didn't play very many games, but I did finish up watching the 10-part sports documentary series, The Last Dance, and it was basically about the Chicago Bulls championship run in the Michael Jordan era. And, man, but definitely the best sports documentary that I feel that's pretty good, you know?
Yeah.
If you're a 90s basketball fan.
When it aired on ESPN, I just kept missing it, but I want to watch it now that it's on Netflix.
Yeah, man, it draws you in. you know, the way it's the story unfolds. It kind of bounces between the last year of the Bulls championship run, and then the beginning of the Chicago Bulls championship run. So it kind of sandwiches closer and closer together, you know, kind of like The Witcher.
The Witcher. You know?
The Witcher was like present day, and then you're watching the past storyline.
Yeah. And then it all comes together, and you're like, what's going on? And then by the end, you're like, okay, now I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. And Mark will probably touch up on it, but I'll bounce off of you whenever, you know, Mark comes in and talks about his download this. But go ahead, Matt. It's your turn.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely have a shorter list. It's been a busy work week, but I was able to take advantage of a Vudu deal, and Top Gun was on sale, so I bought Top Gun. Watched Top Gun, because why not, you know? I'm going to at least watch the original, you know, since we didn't get to watch the second, you know.
I bought the Blu-ray recently, and the Blu-ray, the digital copy, was actually the 4K, and it looks amazing in 4K.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks good. I also let my wife pick some movies this week that we watched, and one was called Would You Rather, and it was a movie that came out in 2012. It's like a horror torture movie, one of those like you get, you know, you're basically rich if you can withstand this game of Would You Rather, and they give you you know, two choices. It's like stab the person next to you in the leg with a pick, or cut out your own eye, or something like that. So I had to watch that. But it's got Brittany Snow, who is in Pitch Perfect, and it's got Sasha Grey, but she's an actor. It's not your run of the mill Sasha Grey film. It's a movie. And then there was something I watched a few weeks ago that I forgot to mention, and it was on. It's on Netflix. It's called Lockout. It's with Guy Pearce, and he co-stars next to I forget what her name is, but she's Maggie Grace. Have you seen it?
No, I bought a digital copy from Vudu, and all of a sudden they gave me a free copy of Lockdown.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's okay. It's one of those movies that. Maybe okay to watch once. I think it had some potential. Guy Pearce, I think he tries a little too hard in there. Maybe it's maybe it's because of the script. Maybe and the graphics aren't that great. The animation, but you know, I think there's a basis for a story there that maybe told a different way could have been pretty successful. And Maggie Grace really, really gives me this Brie Larson kind of vibe. Or no, not Brie Larson. This, like a mix between Brie Larson and I can't think of her name. Matt Furiosa. I can't think of her name.
Charlize Theron.
Charlize Theron. Yeah, I'm drawing a blank. But that's really all I've done this week. Really haven't even been able to play on the Xbox at all.
Oh, I forgot to mention. I also saw Zero Dark Thirty for the first time.
Nice.
Yeah, last week, I think. And that was a pretty good movie. I actually enjoyed that more than Hurt Locker. So,
I like Hurt Locker a little bit more, but they're both really good movies. I feel like they're good companions to each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. I guess Zero Dark Thirty, because it was more based on real events, where Hurt Locker was not, it was based more on stories than real events, you know. Mm-hmm. Things that could happen. So, yeah, Zero Dark Thirty is pretty good, though. It was very dark, though. And that's not really a joke.
Yeah.
That was my one thing when I saw it. It's like, it's the battle scenes towards the end. I know they were trying to give it like a realistic, intense feel, but it also was kind of like almost too dark. You know, it's like, all right, I can't really tell what's going on. And sometimes I don't like it when they do that, but oh well.
Yeah.
Minor quip.
Yeah.
Well, I watched finally Superman Red Sun which is one of the recent DC animated films where, so if he had landed in the Soviet Union, like how would he have been raised not being raised in Kansas? And, it's pretty good. It takes a few minutes to like really get into the film because it's not what you expect Superman to be. So yeah, it's a good movie. It is, you know, DC Universe has done some good stuff lately. It's just takes, it's a lot of graphic novel. I think they tried to put into one movie. So it feels like, it feels like it's a little rushed, but it comes together pretty well. It's interesting because like this version of Superman, he still tries to stay good, but yet the way he's raised, he ends up becoming kind of a dictator like tyrant and doesn't realize he's doing it because it's just the way he was born. So it has to deal with his ideals, that how he's raised and things like that. Now the Batman in it is pretty badass. He's pretty hardcore. He's just like, no, screw you, Superman. I'm going to kill you no matter what. and he goes off. But it's interesting to watch. It makes me kind of want to read the graphic novel and see what it's about. You know, it's kind of cool, kind of interesting story, so to speak. But DC Universe, since the death of Superman, you know, their last few movies they've done have been actually pretty good.
I don't know why that the most frustrating thing about DC animated films is that they limit themselves at 70 minutes, instead of 90 minutes.
Well,
you know, and that's why a lot of them feel rushed.
Well, they went 90 minutes with Apocalypse War, and I think both the Death of Superman's were about 90 minutes. But you're right; sometimes they limit them to like that 75 to 80 minute mark, and it's like, why not just put 10 more minutes in there to make it a little bit better? Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Yeah.
So who knows? And then that's really the only majorly new thing I watched. And I did check out the first episode of the Transformers anime on Netflix. And I know you did too long. Okay. So I mean, it's only one episode. I struggle with why they call it anime because, I don't know, I guess I think a traditional anime. But to me, it just looks like another CGR cartoon. The voice work is... I know we were texting earlier. I'm like, why can't they spend money to get Frank Welker and Peter Cullen? Instead, we get like a Peter Cullen wannabe. And I found in the first episode anyway that he's trying really hard to sound like Peter Cullen, but then his voice will break and he sounds completely different. And that, the guy voices Optimus Prime, and he's not real consistent.
I think he's also did the Transformers Cyberverse on YouTube and a couple of others. So, yeah, I think he's been around for quite a bit in the recent years.
Yeah.
So, but it's cool to see Transformers again. And it's only six episodes.
I think he's a little bit better than Megatron, personally.
Yeah. Megatron's a pretty standard kind of drab villain. Starscream's okay. He's pretty close to the original. You know?
Yeah. And, the voice.
We'll see where it goes. It's supposed to be the first of three chapters, so I guess there's going to be 18 episodes total once they're all done. So, but not a bad movie. I mean, not a bad show so far. I've read reviews of it that say it's kind of mediocre. I guess we'll see as I finish it up. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're what, a couple more episodes into it than me?
Yeah, I think about halfway through it. And I think it's animated by an anime studio, and that's why it's called an anime, you know? Yeah. I forgot which one. There's so many of them. I had more than download this, but then again, I took a 2-week hiatus.
Yeah. So that's okay.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so let's get into today's feature film, a movie that was so good they had to blow up a bridge and rebuild it and blow it up again, I guess. That's one little tidbit.
Yeah.
But that is Sergio Leone's classic, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. That is our feature film today. And since my voice is shot all to shit, Long, you weren't here last week, you want to summarize it, Long?
Not really. Matt, you go ahead.
Well, Matt doesn't summarize. Matt gives us the entire film.
Oh, right.
I'll I'll do my best. I mean, I can. So it starts off with, you know, an introduction of who the good is, who the bad is, and who the ugly is. You've got Lee Van Cleef, who's the bad, and you've got Tuco, who is the ugly, and
Eli Wong.
And Blondie, a.k.a. Yeah, a.k.a. Clint Eastwood is the good. And, you know, he's scamming towns out of this bounty of Tuco. And he dumps him after he doesn't, you know, live up to his, I guess he wants him to get up to like $5,000 bounty, which I looked and $3,000 is about the equivalent of $80,000 today, like back then. So it's like, I mean, why are you complaining? You're getting 80,000 bucks a pop from scamming these towns and there's no internet, so they can't hunt your ass down. I mean, it sounded like a pretty good gig to me. But anyways, you know, so Eastwood leaves and they end up getting entangled into this, this guy that actually has a bounty out, for Angel Eyes. And they learn where this, gravesite is that apparently has, $200,000 in it. And they somehow get intercepted by, Lee Van Cleef, Angel Eyes. And, now they're all trying to get this $200,000 and it ends in a standoff, the classic standoff that you see in your GIF keyboard. You know, when you type in good, bad, and the ugly, and, you know, an awesome score. Like you said, they get mixed up in the Civil War, and there's a bridge that gets blown up, and, you know, just some awesome suspense and action. You know, that's really what it's all about. It's a bit of a long film, but I think... you know, looking at it scene by scene and knowing that Leone is a director of situations and not movies really, and taking those situations piece by piece and just enjoying them for what they are, it's a great film. I think, you know, easily a top three Western film.
It's extremely, but it's very well paced, 3-hour film.
Yeah.
It goes by very quickly. And that's a credit to Leone's direction to put characters on screen and those situations you mentioned that are never boring. You know, it flows very well. I think this film is a masterpiece. I think it's one of the best Westerns ever made, if not possibly the best. And I know Long texted the other day and said he thought it was overrated. And I virtually threw something at your head, Long, when you said that, because there's no way this film is overrated. This is the ultimate idea of what a Western film is, essentially. You know, you have your good guys, your bad guys, your bounty hunters, your treasure hunters, your soldiers that get involved. It has everything you can want in a Western, and some really good acting. Out of the Dollars trilogy, this is probably the best acted out of the three. You know, Eastwood has found his way with the Man with No Name, and Lee Van Cleef was always good on screen. And Eli Wallach, I got to give him a lot of credit in this movie. He comes in here with these guys that have been doing Westerns and acting together, and Eli Wallach does a hell of a good job of this film. He's legitimately really good, and he's funny. And he has one of my favorite lines in the movie, which was ad-libbed. And that is where he says, if you're going to shoot, shoot, don't talk. And everyone on set laughed, and he was like, why are y'all laughing? I'm serious. And he made that line up. He didn't mean for it to be funny, but it was hilarious. Yeah. Long, I really want to know why you think this film is overrated.
I mean, my biggest issue is the pacing, you know, for me. I mean, I know you guys don't have the problem with the pacing, but usually I don't mind long movies, pardon the pun, with my name. Oh. But no, I don't know. It's just, it's always, I mean, felt like a very slow movie.
I can see the part, you know, in the desert where Tuco tries to turn on Blondie, and he essentially almost kills him.
Yeah.
And that could be the only part I can see it's a little dragged, but I think like Matt said, Leone's trying to build a tension with that and an intensity. Mm-hmm. I think the one issue I might have with that is that Tuco drags him across the desert, almost kills him, and Blondie just sort of lets that go a little lightly, like, you know, and kind of teams up essentially with Tuco again. And that's a little bit kind of strange, I felt. So I can see that as far as the pacing goes.
Yeah, and then the whole scene with Tuco getting beaten up by, you know, the was it Union or Confederate?
Union, I believe. I thought the blue was Union and the gray was Confederate.
Dark blue, yeah. So, yeah, it was Angel Eyes that was beating up on Tuco, right?
Oh yeah, yeah, he was smacking him around pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't. There were some deviations to the plot that they felt like it really worked towards the end for me. You know, the whole scene at the end was great. I mean, I do like the ending, you know, but it felt like the ending didn't really relate to the middle of the movie to me. You know, not like Fistful of Dollars was a tight movie to me. It told a better story for me, you know. So,
but I can see where that comes into play.
Yeah,
I think I was watching. I was having my son watch this movie, and at least the ending. I brought it to the ending, and he's like, "Shoot already, shoot!" And I'm like, "Hey, calm down." I was like, "This is the style." I was like, "This is what Leone was going for." I was like, "The tension. When's he gonna pull it? You know, who's he gonna shoot?" And I was like, "The gun, the eyes, the stare, the gun, the cigar, the eyes, the stare." And I was like, and then just faster, faster, more zoomed in. I was like, "This is what it was. This was action." And he's like, "Oh, okay." And he kind of calmed down. And then whenever that shot happens, it's like, you know, man, it's like anticipating, and then, you know, finally being relieved and having that scene realized. I think, and the music is just on point on that scene.
Yeah, the music is excellent in this one.
Well, lots of trumpet. Yeah, love it.
I mean, one of the best face-offs of all time. But, you know, it may be the best. Yeah. That scene is incredible. Yeah, I mean, I see Long's points, but I think Leone kind of knew that this was the last of his like mini trilogy he did, and I think that's why he wanted to go out with an epic epic saga, so to speak, and to tie it all together. And there is a shortened version of this film that's like an hour. It's like 2 hours and 34 minutes, but now the accepted version is the 3 hour version. It seems to be the common one now. Was about 178 minutes. Just under 3 hours, and you know, and I don't know. I don't know if I've ever seen the shorter version. Maybe on TV, you don't really realize it was shorter. I've always just remember the longer version of this film. So I don't know if it's paced a little differently or what they added back into the film. I'd have to go look that up. But we were talking earlier about the bridge that they blow up, because, like you said, they get involved with the troops and they have to blow up this bridge, and they accidentally, the word "by" means go, and someone set it into a microphone on accident and blew up the bridge before they were ready. So,
yeah,
part of the deal was they had to rebuild the bridge so they could blow it up again. And I thought that was pretty funny, because that's one thing Leone was famous for doing. He would hire people that were English, people that were Spanish, people that were Italian, and he would shoot most of his films in Italian with everyone speaking their own language. Now, for The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, they had more people speaking English on this film than previously, only because a lot of the Italian workers he had worked with took the time to learn English out of respect for Lee Van Cleef and Clint Eastwood. They wanted to learn, but there were still some actors that didn't. And Eli Wallach didn't know any other language, so he was, I guess, a known joker on set, would mess with some of the actors. And another funny scene about that was the gun scene. Eli Wallach knew nothing about guns. So in the gun shop, everything he does is ad-libbed, and the way he's looking at guns and pointing them, and the shop owner was all genuine reactions, because they wanted him to like look at him like, what is he doing with these guns? And that's pretty funny too.
Yeah, because those are Civil War Navy guns, and like those parts, I mean, they match up, but they don't actually fire. Like the barrel is usually, they're smaller in diameter than what the wheel cartridges hold, so it really doesn't make sense, which is probably why that shopkeeper is looking all crazy. But, you know, of course, for the purposes of the movie, it fires, and I'm just like, what's he listening for? Is he listening for the timing? Is he listening for that's what it sounds like, because the first, I was like, you know, if you listen to that scene, the first revolver he's spinning, You really can't hear it click, so maybe he thinks the timing's off is what I'm assuming. And then he goes to the next one, and I guess he gets the timing right. Yeah, so he's taking all these revolver parts apart, and like Mark said, Tuco's taking all these revolvers apart, and like Mark said, you know, shopkeeper's genuinely weirded out because these parts usually don't fit all together unless it's the same. I don't think it's two of the same gun. I guess it sounds like he's just listening for timing within the cylinder. So that would make sense. And then, you know, those guns really tell the time. It's actually looks like it's almost post Civil War, because right at the beginning of the Civil War, they were using paper cartridges. And that same revolver has a lever to where you could mash those paper cartridges in to the cylinder so that you could make your own reloads. And that's the tech that was available right at the beginning of the Civil War. A little ways in, you had full cartridges, and you were able to do a little bit more.
No one cares about that history. We're talking about the movie.
I know. But I guess it's to help understand the scene, really, and trying to get a beat on that timeline. But man, there's a. Yeah, you know, he's like you said. You know, he gets the most screen time, and he warrants it. He does. Tuco's character does pretty good. He's interesting. He loves a good beer or liquor, whatever liquor he's drinking. He's always drinking. Yeah, and he's an interesting character for sure.
Well, this movie definitely had the best opening act of any movie. It's one of those movies where I like the beginning and the end, but not really the middle. So, okay. I mean, the way they introduce each character was very to the point. My favorite introduction was definitely Angel Eyes. He was contracted to kill someone, and then that person he was about to kill pays him a higher price to kill the original contractor. That's definitely one of the most badass ways to introduce an evil character. He'll do anything for money, you know. Mm-hmm. He killed the original contractor with a pillow and a pistol, you know, while the guy's screaming in fear.
And Lee Van Cleef is so good too. He's calm and cool and collected.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he won't slap.
Hats off to the English dubbing, you know, because it was all filmed in Italian, and the folks who translated the movie had to find the right words that matched the lip sync. you know, the right English words to match the lip sync to what was being mouthed on screen. So that's an achievement because, you know, I mean, when you watch a regular dub, they don't really care about lips matching, you know, but lip sync. So, but yeah, they did a really good job with the lip sync in this film.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then there's no dialogue for the first 10 and a half minutes of this movie, which is something Leon liked to do. He liked to set shots up, and he would let the scenes breathe, so to speak. And I think Once Upon a Time in West, which was his follow up to this movie, is even longer. I think it's almost 20 to 30 minutes where anybody speaks in that movie. And also in that introduction of the three characters, each of them shoots three people in their introductions. So they each shot three people. So there's three people that are introducing.
Nice.
So kind of a little tip there. It's funny. He actually asked Eastwood to come back for Once Upon a Time in the West, but Eastwood did not want to. He was tired of doing Westerns at that point. And Sergio Leone actually got...
He was afraid of being typecast,
too. And Leone actually got mad at him and held a grudge against Eastwood for a while. And they eventually made up and were friends. But I guess you don't cross the Italian director. He wasn't happy that he told him no to do Once Upon a Time in the West.
Yeah.
But Once Upon a Time in the West has its own great cast as it is, so it really didn't need Eastwood in that film. You know, and the poncho that he wears is also the same poncho from the previous two films and was never washed or cleaned or repaired throughout the film, through the three films, even though he only wears it in this one towards the end of the movie. And
some people speculate that this is a prequel because he doesn't put on his poncho until the end.
Yeah, I've heard that theory too, and that's why he doesn't really go by a name in the other two films, but yet throughout this one he's called Blondie. But we don't even know if that's his real name. That's just something that Tuco calls him.
Yeah.
Know? Yeah. So I can see that, you know.
Yeah, man. Yeah, good, bad, and the ugly.
Yeah. I mean,
A minus.
That's fair.
I
can see that.
I was going to say before I threw out the rankings, let's not forget a couple weeks ago, we, Ennio Marcione, how do you say it? Ennio, my voice is.
Ennio Morricone.
Well, there we go.
Fuck you and your Italian.
Ennio Morricone.
But he passed away. He passed away about 3 weeks ago now. And, of course, he scored this film as he scored almost all of Sergio Leone's films. And this score is just absolutely remarkable. People, even if they don't know the movie, they've heard this music because it's been used in countless commercials, trailers, whatever, over the years. People have heard it. And I do give it that credit. Out of the $3 movies, I think this is definitely the best work he did. And so I did not want to go throughout the whole talking about the good, the bad, and the ugly and not pay him credit where credit is due for writing a remarkable score of music to this film. And, you know, and so, yeah, you give it A-. I give this movie a solid A+. I think it's a great film. One of the best Westerns ever made.
I give it an A. Yeah. That's like, I see Long's, you know, beef with it a little bit, because I had that beef with it whenever I first watched it. I was kind of young, and I was just like, why is this taking forever? You know, I was introduced to action films with Arnold, you know, and so I'm like, why is this so slow? Yeah. And now I appreciate it a bit more, so I'm probably going to give it an A.
You know what? We all
take the middle of the road.
We all can't be perfect. But if you've never seen this film, it's playing on Netflix. I think it's even on Amazon Prime. It's easily available. Hell, I think you can buy it on Blu-ray for about $5 because it's been out a long time. But this is definitely one of those movies, if you made a list of movies that you should see before you die, take the time to watch The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Great, great film. I posted a picture on our Instagram today just saying, hey, we're doing this movie, and it got quite a bit of love just from tagging it. So this movie, I think, holds a special place to a lot of people. And hopefully we did it justice talking about The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly today on the podcast. And so I guess that brings us to our weekly top five, where we always have a different top five every week. And this week we're doing our top five favorite Westerns of all time. Long, you want to go first? We are number five favorite Western.
My number five is, excuse me, it's a comedy Western, The Three Amigos. Starring,
yes! Oh my God!
Starring Chevy Chase, Martin Short, and Steve Martin. One of my favorites of all time. And I want to mention an honorable mention, two John Wayne movies, Rio Bravo and Stagecoach. Those are good too.
Yes.
As my honorable mentions. But my number five, Three Amigos, actually beat up John Wayne. It's so endearing to me. I love their little midnight cowboy serenade, Blue Shadows on the Trail. Love that song. I don't know why. It's just a great tune. Some of the music scenes, great villain, funny villain too.
Oh, yeah, El Guapo. El Guapo. And the town of Santa Poco.
Yeah. But yeah, great blend of comedy and action. Not over the top like Blazing Saddles, but I like it. It's witty too.
So, yeah.
Yeah. That's my number five. How about you, Matt?
Yeah, it's probably, this is definitely a guilty pleasure film. And I think Mark expected me to mention this film. I have, The Quick and the Dead. It's dual.
That's a good movie.
Yeah. I love Leo in it. I love.
I like it because he dies in it.
Yeah. You're like, I like it because he dies. He's such a cocky bastard in that film.
Yeah.
And I just, it's duel after duel after duel. You've got Lieutenant Dan in there. Very entertaining flick. It's all about the draw.
And
the quick draw.
Yeah.
And I will echo your honorable mentions. Those are good films. Rio Bravo. Yeah.
Stagecoach. Isn't Gene Hackman in this movie too?
Gene Hackman is the. He plays such a good bad guy in a Western, especially in Unforgiven. But he's good in this
overall.
You, Mark?
Well, don't forget that Quick and the Dead is also significant for having a female lead.
Yeah. Yeah, Sharon Stone.
You don't see that a lot.
No, not a whole lot.
Yeah. Go ahead, Mark.
My honorable mentions are these movies aren't on the list of top five, but they could be. The original Magnificent Seven, which is a great film. Obviously, it's inspired by Seven Samurai, but still a great film on its own. The Wild Bunch, which is one of the if you've never seen The Wild Bunch, it's worth it just for the last 40 minutes of that film. Just incredible action.
Yeah.
And then
I've seen it, but I think it's overrated.
And then
personally,
my John Wayne pick is The Searchers. That's my honorable mention on here, which is a great film. But at number five. And yes, it's a made for television movie, but still Western, is Lonesome Dove. It's like the quintessential Western saga. If you've never seen it, you should watch Lonesome Dove. It's really good. It made television history when it aired. Millions of people watched it. It was a really big deal when it came out. It has Robert Duvall, Tommy Lee Jones, a cast of thousands, in that film. Could easily be higher on the list, but Lonesome Dove is one of the greatest Western sagas ever made. Oh, and another honorable mention, Silverado from the 80s. That's a really good Western, too. So, but number five, I have Lonesome Dove.
All right. Well, my number four pick is For a Few Dollars More, starring Lee Van Cleef and Clint Eastwood. I like this one better than The Good and the Bad. I felt that the story and pacing... easy to follow motivations for all the characters. And I enjoyed Lee Van Cleef being a hero in this film, too, instead of being a villain. Overall, fantastic movie. Fantastic villain, too. But that's my number four pick. For a few dollars more. How about yours, Matt?
Yeah, I've got 310 to Yuma. The Christian Bale film. Got Henry Fonda in there too. Peter Fonda.
Yeah, Henry Fonda's dead.
Yeah, he did. And then, of course, The Gladiator, Russell Crowe. And then just, that's another movie that's just glorifies the quick draw and really, really focuses on the guns and the Western action to a certain extent. The Gatling gun on the back of the stagecoach. That's a cool scene. I think it's fun. And it's a good film. Yeah.
My number four is Open Range with Kevin Costner and Robert Duvall. Under the radar Western from about 2005 or six, I guess it came out. I like that movie a lot. The gunfight at the end is really, really well done. Annette Bening stars in that film. And one of the best modern-day Westerns, I think, that's ever come out. Really, really good film. I don't know if you guys have ever seen Open Range. And strangely, not available on Blu-ray yet. And Kevin Costner, I read somewhere, he said it's ultimately the studio has not put out on Blu-ray. He doesn't understand why it's not out. But what's strange is it's out on Blu-ray in other countries, just not in the U.S. for some reason. Open Range is a film I really like quite a bit. Quite a bit. I actually saw it twice when it came out in theaters because I really like that film.
Cool. Let's see. My number three is Magnificent Seven. I just like Yul Brynner being the lead, young Charles Bronson, Robert Vaughn.
Yeah. McQueen.
It's a good classic Western. And, you can always get behind the heroes. They're not being paid much, but they're doing the right thing. And that's what I like about some of these Westerns. Simple motivations and just a despicable villain in Eli Wallach, you know, chewing up the scenery.
Oh, yeah. And,
yeah. But that's my number three. How about you, Matt?
I put Shane. You know, it's like I didn't know about this movie until Mark's like, you know, hey, you got to watch Shane if you want to get a lot of these undertones from Logan. And I bought it on Vudu, and I like it. I think it's a classic. It's beautifully shot. The picture is great. And just the story of a gunfighter trying to retire, and he's always called to action, and you know he has one last stand to bring freedom to these bunch of croppers. Just a good story. Still entertaining for a 1950s film.
So what's your number three, Mark?
My number three was $4 a few more as well. Good call. Oh, okay. Good call on Shane. I should have not. I don't know why I didn't think about that. So I'll give an honorable mention. But yeah, I like $4 a few more as well. And we covered it last year on the show. And yeah, what you said, it's just a good movie. You know. Yeah. So we go on.
You guys ever seen that movie? You guys have. Have you guys seen that movie? The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance?
No,
I have.
That's a good movie too. That's a good movie.
Yeah.
James Stewart, John Wayne, and Lee Marvin. Yeah. And also High Noon deserves mention, too.
Oh, High Noon. Yeah.
The Treasure of the Sierra Madre. Yeah.
John Wayne hated that movie. Yeah.
The Treasure of the Sierra Madre. That's another good one.
Yeah. Treasure with Bogey, mm-hmm. Humphrey Bogart. Yeah. So my number two is a tie. It's Once Upon a Time in the West and Unforgiven. Once Upon a Time in the West was the first time where Ennio Morricone was asked to score a movie before he saw it. But he read the script and he made the score. And then Sergio Leone filmed the movie around the score, which never happened. So the movie shot by shot was done according to what Leone felt from the film score. This is an excellent film score. Charles Bronson was in it, Jason Robards.
Fonda, right?
And Henry Fonda. Henry Fonda,
which was a last...
Yeah, like one of the few roles he...
Was a last-minute thing.
He was a...
Because Sergio Leone asked him to be in it, and at first he turned it down, and at the last minute he said, okay, I'll do it.
Yeah, playing a villain was his one and only villainous role. In his entire movie career.
Yeah, it's a great film.
Henry Fonda's always the buttoned-up hero, you know, the man of reason. But in this way, he's just a psychopath, which is cool. Not a psychopath, but a killer, cold-blooded killer.
Yeah.
But you cheated having a tie.
But yeah.
That means your number five should have been number six.
I'm sorry. don't cry. This is my list. I can do whatever I want. This is America.
This is America.
And then Unforgiven, fantastic Clint Eastwood movie. I think it was his last Western, isn't it?
I think
that's
so.
That's the last Western he's ever done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
But yeah, it's a great movie about violence. Against violence.
Yeah.
You know. What, you don't think it is?
No, it is. Oh. It's just funny. Like, just it was. I didn't expect you to say violence, and I'm like, huh. It threw me off. Like, just as a, you know, he said that instead of it's a great movie about, you know, prostitutes or something.
No, the point of the movie was anti-violence.
Yeah,
you know,
retiring, not being that man anymore.
Yeah, but Gene Hackman was fantastic in this movie. Little Bill. Richard Harris is in this movie too. I forgot that he was in this movie.
Yeah, man.
And Clint Eastwood.
Morgan Freeman.
Fantastic movie. Morgan Freeman. Fantastic final end climax. But yeah, Unforgiven. Should be on everyone's Western list.
Yep.
What's your number two, Matt?
I have Unforgiven at number two.
Yeah.
And like you said, great film. I think what's funny to me is the kid that acts like he's badass and he can't shoot, but like, you know, 10 feet in front of him.
Yeah.
I like Unforgiven.
How about you, Mark?
I like Unforgiven. I just don't like it as much as everyone else liked it, but I still like it. And two, I have the movie we did today, The Good, the Bad, the Ugly. It could easily be number one, but my number one's more of a sentimental favorite. But I have Good, the Bad, and Ugly at number two. So I don't think I need to say more than that since we just spent 30 minutes talking about it.
Yeah.
My number one, and I think I'll be the first one to steal everyone's thunder, it's Tombstone, baby.
Yes.
Tombstone.
Is that everyone's number
Kurt
one?
Russell.
Is that your number one, Matt?
No, it's not.
Okay.
How about you, Mark? Is it yours? Yeah.
I forgot about Tombstone.
Tombstone, how do you forget about Tombstone?
I don't know how, man. I ate all kinds of tombstones as a kid, you know, put them in the oven.
I don't get it. No, I'm joking. Fantastic movie. Great cast. Billy Bob Thornton's in it, too. Power Spoof. Val Kilmer. Fantastic cast of characters.
Sam Elliott. Bill Paxton.
And towards the end of the second half, it's a great revenge movie, too. Tombstone.
I'll say
my number one.
I'll say a little bit more in a minute after Matt says what his number one is.
Yeah,
what's your number one,
Matt? I picked
Cowboys and Aliens.
Yeah, Cowboys and Aliens. Book of Eli. You know, Good, Bad, and the Ugly. I picked number one. I watched this film so many times with my dad, and I think, you know, maybe that's why I like this film a little bit more than. Maybe some people do, but you know, you can justify putting this as number one, and I've got it number one.
Well, anyway, that's nice, Matt. That's sweet. Tombstone, man. I love the film so much. We always talk about that list of 10 films that influenced us or whatever that made us who we are, like Star Wars and things like that. And Tombstone is one of those movies for me that is a movie. It's one of those movies is the reason I like movies. And what's cool is I don't know if I told this story on the Tombstone episode or not, but you know, one of the first times I really watched this movie was I was in Boy Scouts and we were camping and we had a movie night at the camp we were at. They put it up on a projector and, so we're out in the woods, watching this great Western on a projector with speakers. And so the setting was just like perfect for a Western film. And,
nice.
And you know, it's just, from Kurt Russell to Val Kilmer's portrayal of Doc Holliday to all the other great actors in the film, Tombstone is just what you want in a Western. Great gunfights, great characters. Michael Biehn and Powers Booth play great villains. And we did Tombstone a couple years back. So, we've talked about that movie and such a great film. And that's easily my number one. So good top five Western lists there, I think, from everybody. You know, even if long
term. There was one Western. Yeah.
Even if you cheated a little.
Even what? Yeah. There was one Western that I used to watch all the time as a kid. It was a comedy spaghetti Western. It's called They Call Me Trinity, starring Bud Spencer and Terrence Hill. Mm-hmm. It's a great little comedy Western, one of my favorites growing up as a kid. Yeah. But if you guys ever get a chance to see it, check it out. They Call Me Trinity.
I always liked
the. You ever heard of him?
I've heard of it. Yeah, I always liked the old Lone Ranger shows and Gunsmoke and all that stuff. You know, it was all good stuff growing up too.
Yeah. So the Rifleman with
Rifleman,
name?
Steve McQueen.
No, dude. No. Chuck Connors.
Chuck Connors.
Yeah. He was an airplane, I think.
All right. Well, let's get into some news before we preview next week's film. Somebody mentioned The Witcher earlier in the show. Well, Netflix is going to do a six-part miniseries prequel called Blood Origins. No casting for it yet. Because I guess it takes place thousands of years before the current show. So we don't even have season two out yet, but yet we're getting a prequel to it. So Witcher fans should be happy. I guess it's supposed to explain the world of The Witcher a little bit better. So Mm-hmm. I'm sure Witcher fans will be down for that. Kevin Smith is going to make a Green Hornet animated series with a female Kato being done. There's no, I can't remember the studio that he's doing it with. I don't think they have a distribution outlet yet, but I imagine they're going to shop it to a streaming service, I'm sure. As we know, Kevin Smith's a big Green Hornet fan, wrote the comic a few years ago, and almost made a film version of himself, but he never did. So he's going to try to bring Green Hornet to a new generation through through animation. So kind of cool, I guess, if you're a Green Hornet fan. We got a trailer this week for DC animated films. We talked Superman Red Son earlier. They do these short films that they put out on their Blu-rays, and they're going to put out a showcase Blu-ray that has all the short films in it. And the feature of those is going to be a Batman Death in the Family animated short on there. It's a direct prequel to Under the Red Hood, which at the beginning of Under the Red Hood, we get to see how Joker kills Robin. And so this is going to be a prequel tying into that. Of course, in the famous comic book story from the 1980s, Batman Death in the Family, comic book readers called in to vote on whether Robin was died or not. And obviously, we all know how that turned out. They voted for Jason Todd to be killed. So in the movie, it's going to be interactive. So you'll be able to choose whether Robin dies and some other choices. So I think that's kind of cool. The trailer looks really neat. And it comes out, I believe, in September. It looks really neat. I'm always down for Batman stuff on the DC animated. So you get that short when you buy the Blu-ray. You'll get all the other shorts on there, too, which are all really good. I've watched almost all those shorts, and they're really well done. Matt, I know you saw the trailer, huh?
Yeah. No, it looks good. And, man, you know, why not build off of arguably maybe top 2-3 DC animated film? I think it's going to be successful and, you know, definitely a bright spot in 2020 with that coming out in September.
It's cool to see DiMaggio get to come back and do the Joker again because I love Hamill, but I really like DiMaggio's Joker a lot, too. So I think it's kind of cool to get him back.
Yeah, kind of darker. Yeah. A little darker, you know? So, yeah.
Just should be fun. And so look for that soon. The Emmys were announced. And, you know, as we move forward, you know, comic book culture is now mainstream. And so The Watchmen got 26 Emmy nominations. And The Mandalorian got 15. So that's a win for geek culture. Best original. I think they both were nominated for a best television series. So pretty cool stuff there. I haven't seen all The Watchmen yet. Did you ever finish it long?
Watchmen. No, I haven't even.
Okay, I didn't know if you had watched some of it. I've heard a lot of good things about it, and of course, we've all watched The Mandalorian, and we know how good that was. So, if you're into awards things, they got a shitload of nominations. So that's kind of cool. And
wow, yeah.
And lastly, this came out of late weekend Comic-Con news last week, even though there was no Comic-Con. Zack Snyder, man, he's throwing quite a bit of shade at Josh Whedon's version of the Justice League. That he basically said, no way in fucking hell I'm going to use any footage of Josh Whedon's film. That his Snyder cut's going to be all his footage, a completely different cut of the film. He's really playing this up. It just feels to me like Snyder's got a lot to live up to with this cut.
Well, also, not just Snyder. It sounds like Ray Fisher and a couple of cast members weren't happy with Joss Whedon at all when he came on board.
Yeah.
So, he wasn't the only one.
No, that's true. But hopefully it lives up to expectations when it hits next year on HBO Max. Because definitely looking forward to it. But that's all the news I had.
Yeah.
Unless y'all have anything that I wasn't thinking of.
No, nothing on my end. You got everything.
Yeah, I mean, you could tell I was stretching for news as it was this week. Some of those were like, okay, that's cool. And so next week on this show, we started a tradition last year where if it's your birthday, you get to pick the movie. So it is my birthday next Saturday. So we are going to talk very much a favorite film of mine. That is the John Woo's classic action film, The Killer.
One of the 10 best films of the year. A high-octane mixture of outlandishly stylized camp and outrageously sensational shootouts. Outrageously exhilarating. Guaranteed to tingle the most jaded moviegoer's palate. A film concocted with nitroglycerin. The combined energy of the Road Warrior, RoboCop, and the Terminator. The killer is great cinema. The Killer, a thriller comedy that will leave you breathless.
This is going to be fun to talk about. We had a lot of fun. We talked about Hardboiled, Face Off. John Woo films are always something that's a good time to discuss because his films are quite unique from the action director's perspective. And he's one of my favorite directors. And The Killer has, as much as the hospital scene in The Hardboiled is incredible, the church scene in The Killer is quite incredible too. A film that has influenced a lot of filmmakers, including Quentin Tarantino and guys like that who are big fans of The Killer. So we're going to get together and talk about that next week. So hopefully you are excited.
Yeah, I've never seen
this. You've never seen The Killer?
Really? Before.
Wow.
I've seen Hardboiled, but not The Killer. Yeah.
So we have a killer virgin here for this film.
Yeah. Or virgin killer, huh?
So that's next week on the show. We talk John Woo's The Killer for my birthday. So, and cool. So, as always, go to the RebelRadioPodcast.com and to listen to all our episodes. Follow us on all apps, social media, all that good stuff. We have a new store up there on Etsy with a new shirt, Flash Gordon inspired t-shirt for the 40th anniversary of Flash Gordon. Join our Patreon for just $2 a month. You can listen to exclusive episode every month, and our July episode, Superman 4, is free for everyone to listen to. So check that one out so you get an idea of what we do for the Patreon. And until next time, this has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is Long, the Gunslinger.
And as always, remember, just go there and do it. And thanks for listening. Just
go there and do it.
Do it.
This is Booker T, Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Rubber Radio. Now, can you dig that, sucker?
Sam Jones, Flash Gordon, and this is Rebel Radio Podcast.